Hey, everybody. Kamala Harris gives her acceptance speech for the presidential nomination of the Democrat National Convention. We dissect it word by word live. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com to support all of these streams and get behind what we're doing. Become a member today, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. And as always, get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
That was one of the worst speeches I have heard. Holy crow.
I'm actually shocked. Are you guys shocked? Like, we haven't...
Do not mix white wine with Xanax. We've been over this so many times that that combination does not end up producing. Blake.
You know, I just, you know, as you said yesterday, I try to be even keeled. I try not to get too swept up. I try not to overreact. That was bad. I think they were hoping for something stronger. And I'm trying to think of the specific things in it. They're so... Like, first, she comes out, and everyone's cheering. Like, this is her best moment. Just have everyone be jazzed up. They've gotten hyped up for all week to love Kamala. Just bask in the moment. Trump is amazing at this. He lets him play the whole Proud to Be an American song while
That's
he just
right.
stands
Every
on stage.
Every time it's Lee Greenwood. And he just soaks in. And he told me once, he says, Charlie, you just got to let him soak it in. He says, you know what he told me? He said, amateurs cut off the crowd. I was like, wow. Yeah. Anyway, continue, Blake.
That was really bad. Like, lots of people will say, thank you. You know, they'll kind of hint, you know, you can slow it down. But she's straight up, she's, thank you, thank you, thank you. We need to get down to business. Like, she's basically telling them to shut up. I've got a time limit.
Trump actually posted, Blake, so I don't know if you're reading Trump's post, but he did live post the entire thing. And one of the first things that he actually said, so going back to what, you know, Charlie even pointed out, too many thank yous, too rapidly said what's going on with her. Just why would you walk out on stage like that? You just seems insecure. It seems anxious. She's talked before that one of the reasons that she, you know, that she drinks quite a bit, she's fond of wine, that is that she gets severe social anxiety to the point where she's even held mock dinner parties prior to actual dinner parties. And she's had staff that she's had to go to in D.C. and she would have staffers come in and role play at these mock dinner. I'm dead serious. This is like all reported. Staffers come in and mock role play the guests at the dinner party so she could sort of have a test dinner party, like a practice run before she has to go to the actual thing.
So that's why
she, even at this level, she's just so uncomfortable in her own skin.
That's why she had to be vice president. It's the mock presidency. She had to, you know, do it for 4 years before she could even be president. She had to practice it.
Yeah, I'm waiting for her to do any of it.
It was, but... so that's the start. That was bad. She talks about her family, whatever. I'll give her a pass on that one. But just the specific things she hits.
Too many names. It was too many names. Wanda and Bubba and Shemima. And it was too much. I lost track of it after about 40 seconds.
I'm not going to critique that part. I feel like the part
the stories
that will stand
about
out.
Things that she's done in office, in any of these offices. I fought in court. See, that's not something that sticks with people. I fought in court. Now, tell me about a specific case. I put away this murderer. Right. Or something you had to fight against. This is like a bad. She wouldn't fail. She would have failed a basic job interview. And that's really what this is. This was a job interview for the biggest job in the country. And she just bombed it. Sorry, Blake. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right about that's a great point. We didn't get a sense of Kamala as a story that you've had to find compelling. Other people at the convention sold that.
There was no
a lot
there
better
was
than
no
her.
Narrative.
not much narrative. And you can make up for that if you have a really compelling message on like a platform. But she doesn't really have, she certainly doesn't have a challenger platform the way Trump did in 2016. And she doesn't have an incumbent platform. It's this big nothing burger. And I think I almost want to go back and listen to it. Like, there were so many awkward bits where it was like, this was drafted by a committee and they were thinking, we have to try to hit all these things, otherwise it'll go bad for us. So, like, it's baffling to me that she talked about the border. Like, no one's going to buy that you're great on the border. I'm sorry. Just don't do it. Because you're gonna be like, we're going to fix the... She brags, like, it's possible to do, you know, both have a secure border and a humane immigration policy. Well, apparently not, because you guys have been president for 4 years and instead it's a giant meltdown. The other thing that's going to stand out, the Israel-Palestine thing. Why did they even think they needed to mention that? I just think that was just inviting it to go badly, and then they did it badly. I think if you were going to do it, just pick a side. Say you like Israel, maybe as a one-off, placate that base and tell the radicals to pound sand. They're not going to vote for Trump. Sounds like RFK is dropping out. Who do they have left? And instead, she does the Israel thing.
She tried to have her cake
and then
and
she tries
too.
To have her cake and eat it too. She pivots to, also Gaza, they're killing too many innocent people, and I want self-determination for Palestine. That's going to send a lot of people, you know, there are Israel hawks in the party, and they're going to come unglued about that one. And
That is why, by the way, John Fetterman did not show up at the DNC, was specifically on what you just said, because he is an Israel hawk. And he said, I don't like the way things are going. I don't like the way the party's moving, and I'm not going. That's why John Fetterman from a somewhat important state of Pennsylvania is a no-show.
That, man, that was bad. Just her voice is bad. She had the laugh. I don't think, you
but
know.
Just, I mean, just the whole thing. And by the way, who was coaching her? She was moving all over the place. I mean, it was very, very hard to watch her, like actually physically watch her. And the substance of the speech, not a single mention of inflation, not a single mention. I mean, the border, it was so poor. Not a single mention of violent crime, not a single mention of violent crime. And she keeps on going back to when I was a prosecutor. When she was a prosecutor, she let violent offenders off. She tailored laws for illegals. That was her approach. She tailored them specifically for illegals while they were here. Jack.
Trump has a really good post right now where he's saying that if she wanted to, she could leave this speech right now, go to Washington, D.C., announce that the border is going to be closed, announce that fracking will be allowed in Pennsylvania, and all of these things that she's complaining about. She could just go to D.C. and do this right now, and it would probably help her out really well with her standing, but she won't. And I think he's previewing the way that he's going to be going after her and, you know, really just sticking it to her on these very basic questions. If you say you want these things, why not do them? And I thought the presentation was sloppy. I keep going back to that very sloppy presentation. This did not seem like something that was polished. I just compare and contrast her with Maya Harris, her sister, who went up there, who gave a speech that was high energy. It was bright. It sounded energetic. It was so much better than her speech. It was just on optics better. But of course, the media and people are saying that, you know, the media is just... No, Jake Tapper is going all in on this. He's like in love with it. And the media is, this is what we're going to have, Charlie. This is what we're going to have, is that the media is going to do everything they can to gaslight people about how wonderful and amazing her speech was.
Yeah, I just want to, read off
CNN
some of these.
CNN is just giving her, yeah, go ahead, Blake.
Yeah, I'll repeat what Andrew's been sending us. He says, amazing speech, powerful. They have to go back to 2008 to remember a speech like this. Back to 2008, she was better than Obama in 2012, better than Hillary, better than everyone else at this convention, just crushed it. What in the world? Now, I'm relaying this secondhand, so maybe Andrew is like somewhat exaggerating what they're saying, but I see no reason to think he is. The speech was infused with patriotism from beginning to end. The rhetoric was muscular. It was a great speech. She met the moment. That was from David Axelrod. David Axelrod thought this was a winner. I refuse to
Trump
accept this reality.
Fox.
I refuse to accept this reality.
You what?
Trump just said that he said he's going on Fox. I don't know if he's going live or calling
he
in.
He probably can't control himself. He's probably just going to call in. No, we should take that feed if we can. Are we allowed to simulcast Fox, or do we just have to clip it? I don't know if we're able to simulcast that or not. But yeah, Trump is just probably get me on Fox. Just to show you the propaganda. Again, that was objectively a bad speech. It was poorly delivered. It was not substantive. She was bouncing all over the place. Her hand motions. She was doing the John Kasich. Do you know the John Kasich where you're chopping lettuce? She was doing the John Kasich where she was chopping salami. And, I mean, her hands kept on going outside of what we call the box in public speaking. In public speaking, less is more. And she kept on going up and going up and going around and going up. Anderson Cooper says, it would be interesting to play the two speeches back to back. It would be devastating, I think, to Milwaukee and Trump. Think back to how divisive and discordant the speech of Milwaukee was and how unifying this one was. It's striking. Oh, unifying. Really? Jack, what else are you seeing?
I mean, I keep thinking what's going to come next. So what's going to come next is you're going to just have the media for the next, 74 days, or it might be midnight here in the East Coast. So almost 73 days left, where the media is just going to continue to lie to us constantly about Kamala Harris. And by the way, Charlie, make no mistake. This is why you saw all the warmongers lined up tonight. This is why you saw everyone who's in the pocket of Big Pharma is at this convention. This is your moneyed elites are pouring everything they can into Kamala Harris. And Joe Biden, by the way, actually kind of let the cat out of the bag when he said something a couple of days ago, and producer Foz caught it, Angelo. And he said that, you know, Biden said very quickly, he was asked sort of as he was going to and from the tarmac on one of these trips, that I think it was on his way out to California, actually, from Chicago. He said, well, we're really going to focus on the House and Senate races. I said, wait, what did you just say? He said, we really want to focus on the House and Senate races. Don't you mean the presidential race? You're very excited for Kamala Harris, right? No. So you're also going to see, I think, Charlie, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of this money starts flowing into the House and Senate races in these swing states and swing districts, as opposed to going to prop her up, because I think, look, they knew she was a dud all the way back in 2019. They know she's a dud now. They're just trying to salvage what they can in Congress. I think that's really what's going to go on.
I think we're being totally gaslit. Don't you, Blake? I mean, I'm reading what people are saying. I watched this independently. Yeah, I mean, Blake, you're the most level-headed on this.
Yeah, okay. So I don't think she had a total disaster moment. Probably the closest is it did seem the crowd sounded a little weird when she got to the Israel-Gaza part. I think some people in the audience didn't like it. I even thought I heard a sound like it might have been a guy starting to heckle her, but I might just be way off on that one. So she didn't have she didn't freeze. She didn't have a drunken meltdown. I think it would have been unreasonable to expect anything like that. But on the basics, the idea that this was a historic speech, that she crushed it out of the park, I just don't see it. I don't see.
No, Blake, I know what you're trying to say. And this is something that we talked about last night. The media set the bar too high. The expectations were so much higher than this. They were telling us that she was going to be a transformative candidate, all these references back to 2008. And so the bar was so much higher, as opposed to had the narrative going in, Kamala Mentum, Kamalot, all of these things, the sugar high, the honeymoon, as opposed to, this was a rushed thing. We're not the way they should have played it was to say this was a rushed thing. Joe Biden had an issue at the debate. They're going to see what they can to bring it together. They're trying really hard. Talk about how it was, they were planning things at the last minute. Then, by the way, the scheduling issues and the bathroom issues, someone was saying that they couldn't go to the bathroom and come back with security, or the long lines getting into the DNC, that the huge semaphore piece up, by the way, I think it was Max Tawney over there. And those guys were writing. So, and Ben Smith. So then you would have had an explanation for why things are not as polished as they should have been. But the problem was they set the bar higher than Mark Kelly on one of his exo-atmospheric flights, than Mark Kelly in orbit. So no, there was no way she was ever going to meet this. She didn't. And they're just lying to you and saying that she did.
I will say, I think Mark Kelly probably gave a worse speech than Kamala. He was awful.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
They really did explain.
I've actually never heard him.
The Veep Stakes got fully explained tonight.
He's it's your like, senator.
Like, who are all the candidates? It's like, okay, Mark Kelly was under consideration. Josh Shapiro was under consideration. Gretchen Whitmer was under consideration. Roy Cooper. Oh, why'd they pick Walz? Oh, they actually just did pick the only one who could give a good speech. And I'm not saying Walz was a great speaker, but he was better than all of these guys.
Andrew is sitting down here. So, Jack, what else is Twitter saying?
I'm here. Wait. Unless Jack's got an update.
No. Go ahead, Andrew.
So that was one of the – so I, for those of you wondering where I just emerged from, it was an airplane ride. There's rain in Phoenix, and it caused some delays. Anyways, that being said, I was listening to CNN on the ride over here just to get a sense of how the regime media was reporting it, and they are – absolutely over the moon about this speech. It was pure Pravda, pure propaganda. I was trying to transcribe and send it to the team here. I mean, they were like, she had to prove herself tonight that she was able to be a moderate center left Democrat, and she met the moment. And the Republicans that I'm talking to, this is John King just before I walked in, the Republicans I'm talking to say she did what she had to do tonight. I mean, you know, I'm not sure what real sources John King has as far as
Adam Kinzinger.
Yeah, Adam Kinzinger, I'm sure. Liz Cheney and the like. I feel completely divorced from their reality because of it, because as I was listening to it, I legitimately thought it was shrill. I thought it was vapid. I thought it was...
I totally agree.
I thought it was hard to listen to. I felt like she looked uncomfortable. I felt like she was throwing really empty lines to... appease the military, say we need this lethal force, and you're like, okay, I guess. You know, I mean, you do seem to love war, I presume. She didn't mention inflation.
That's the buried lead of the night.
Yeah.
Keep going, Andrew. That's the buried lead. I want to get that after you're done. Keep going.
Yeah, she didn't mention inflation. She didn't mention the invasion. She acted like, you know, she was this outsider and that she was, you know, she was going to come and fix all of these terrible problems. But, you know, again, you have to defend the fact that you have been a vice president for 3.5 years and you were in the Senate before that. And again, 12 of the last 16 years, Democrats have been in charge. What are you going to be doing that's any different than this? So I just felt like it was a complete dud. I felt like it was really, really missing the mark. I didn't think it was going to expand the tent at all. I felt like you didn't believe anything she was saying. So to hear CNN be so bullish on what they heard, I literally am more convinced than ever that the amount of free thinking away from regime talking points that the CNN panelists are able to do is approximately zero at this point. I think they were in on the Biden coup. They went hard, fast, and then first, and now they are circling the wagons to protect Kamala or whatever her name is.
So the other buried lead tonight is just how the neocons have completely taken over the Democrat Party. So we had Leon Panetta, Adam Kinzinger, and Leon Panetta was literally like, and we and the Democrat Party believe that America should defend democracy in every corner of the planet. You're like, what? What Democrat Party is this? Secondly, then you had Adam Kinzinger that says the most important thing happening is our battle against Russia. And then Kamala Harris says literally, she says word for word, Blake, can you talk about this tweet you sent, that she's going to make it the most lethal fighting force on the planet and that she's not afraid to use it? I mean, this is really terrifying neocon nation builder warmongering stuff. The buried lead is how the Democrat Party went from the anti-war party to the loving war party, Blake.
You know, Charlie, there's a former U.S. president who I think made a great point on this. And he said, you know, the Cold War called and it wants its foreign policy back, Charlie. Remember that 2012,
yeah,
2012,
Obama.
Mitt Romney,
Barack Obama. Obama.
Was it the 80s call? I can't remember what exactly he said, but
yeah, it was the 80s call.
Yeah, we've literally done a full reversal. We've got we have the pro-war Democrats doing John McCain. Like that could have been like the foreign policy beats of that speech could have been John McCain's 2008 acceptance speech. In fact, after I talk about this, I'm going to look up John McCain's speech and see what it says. And if I don't bring it up again, it's because I embarrassed myself. And you can click this and put it on the internet or something. But I'm going to look it up right now and see what he said and see how it compares to what Kamala did.
Let me expand on one other thing. But first, I want to thank our members here, members.charliekirk.com. We're here live on Rumble. We're here live on Real America's Voice. Also, download the Real America's Voice app. I want to thank Justin. I want to thank Randy. I want to thank Owen. I want to thank Aaron and Derek. Members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Can we get the thank you montage from Kamala's intro, Ryan? So Kamala Harris, her intro is so awkward, so forced. She's well known to have performance anxiety. She looked as if she wanted to get to the speech as quickly as possible. She did not meet the moment. The moment kind of honestly slapped her around. She looked intimidated. She did not look confident. It was awful. And I say that objectively. In fact, Andrew, my Twitter was going off a little bit. I had some thoughts. Let me read some of these tweets here.
I was joking. I was at the airport stuck there and I was going, dear, I was like, Charlie's on one tonight, and I love it. I'm here for it.
Yes.
So it was good. I support it.
So here's the one. Kamala can't handle the standing ovation, overwhelmed, frustrated, irritated, not ready for prime time. She's doing the major hand movement thing tonight. Her trainee didn't stick. She's moving around too much, anxious, frenetic, not poised. The speech has way too many random names. We don't care. You are a fraud. You've ruined America, and you're a bad speaker. It's now abundantly clear why she fizzled out in the 2020 Dem primary. No talent, overrated, staged. Usually when you accept the nomination, you attempt to not be the worst speaker of your convention. Did Kamala just reference her experience with elder abuse as a personal qualification? Who's going to tell her? Kamala had one job, and she's blowing it. Kamala, you're supposed to drink after the speech. A bunch of Democrats at HQ are looking at each other and saying, oh, that's why we thought picking her was a bad idea. She has no idea what she's doing. She's talking over the crowd. She thinks that she wants this to be over with. No vibe, no energy. Kamala, if you will end the housing shortage, why didn't you do it the last 3.5 years or do it today? Is this an AA meeting or a nomination speech? This is a wine mom struggle session. Kamala says they will pass a middle-class tax cut. Why haven't you done that? You're the vice president of the United States. The loudest applause line inevitably comes about having the ability to murder your unborn baby. This is the only freedom they believe in. Where are the 320,000 missing kids, Kamala? Kamala has allowed 10 million people to invade our country. 320,000 kids are now missing because of her. She's a liar and a fraud. And finally, I keep on going. Kamala is getting heckled while talking about Gaza. Kamala successfully just pissed off all the Jews in Pennsylvania and Muslims in Michigan. And it continues from there. Blake, what is the Charlie. Online chatter saying?
You know,
or Jack.
It's a mix.
Actually, I have seen, just real quick on that, I have seen the DSA types, the far left types are just really, really upset with her comments about Israel. Disappointing, having a party that's supposed to be the voice for all people, constantly ignoring a whole group that are being killed. But hey, Kamala is brat. I'm just reading your tweet here. F the DNC, F Kamala, F Israel. F the United States. I mean, just they're so mad. They're talking about, oh, you say, you know, someone's killing the Palestinians, but who's killing the Palestinians? They're going off on. They're saying AIPAC must have paid her to say these things. They're really up in arms about that.
I looked it
is
up.
This, is this a fair amount of?
It's a lot. Yeah, it's like, a lot. It's like all the DSA types.
I looked it up, Charlie, and Kamala was more hawkish than John McCain was in 2008.
Whoa.
In 2008.
No way.
In 2008, John McCain was saying this. Russia's leaders, rich with oil wealth and corrupt with power, have rejected democratic ideals and the obligations of a responsible power. They invaded a small democratic neighbor to gain more control over the world's oil supply. Goes on a bit. The brave people of Georgia need our solidarity and prayers. Applause. And then he says... But then he says, as president, I'll work to establish good relations with Russia so that we need not fear a return to the Cold War.
Unbelievable.
But we can't turn a blind eye to Russia.
The modern Democrat Party is now legitimately a warmonger party.
More hawkish on Russia than John McCain.
How did we get
That's
here?
That's so, Blake, let's tweet that out. Send that to Andrew. How did we get here? Because the ultimate form, the ultimate expression of government force is war. And the Democrat Party is the statist party far more than Republicans are. Yeah. And so it's just inevitable that they'd fall in love with war because war is the ultimate expression of the state. And you also have complete control over who lives and who dies. And at the nucleus of the Democrat Party is a depopulation cult. Whatever they can do to lower the amount of human beings on the planet, the Democrat Party is behind. Vasectomies, abortions, death penalty, not death penalty, but physician-assisted suicide, gang violence, not to mention the invasion of other countries and murdering them. This is Kamala Harris saying thank you 31 times. This was so cringe. This is someone who is anxious, not ready to meet the moment, who should not be president. Play cut 185.
Thank you. Okay, let's get to business. All right.
She is, I mean, her administration has been giving America the business for the past 3.5 years. So
she, you could tell where she switched, though. Like, somewhere she went from, like, oh, this is kind of cool, like, they really love me, to, all right, I'm a little irritated and annoyed, and I don't know how to take this, and please sit the hell down.
Our booking at the venue expires at 11:30. We have to get out of here.
I know, right?
Well, the fire marshal was talking about, like, they gave out too many passes, so he was talking about, like, shutting it down or something. I guess not everyone's above the law. But she just seemed, like, frustrated, irritated, and angry. She's you could tell well, like, by the... I don't know.
What I instantly thought of when I was watching this was those reports from some of her other, like, office cultures that she had sort of cultivated, right? Where they weren't allowed to look at her, and she was known for swearing a lot and berating her staff and just being a total bully. You could see...
She almost snapped.
Yeah, you could see that vein of her personality, not her, you know, actual veins. You could see that... That part of her personality come out in that moment. I saw a glimpse of it, and she's basically like, sit the hell down. It's time for me to talk. It's you to listen.
All right, I want to play this. The gaslighting is on way. By the way, this is not just a male-female thing. I mean, all of us men think it was bad. I asked the young ladies in our chat who do a great job and help us, Emma and Daisy. I said, do you guys think it was a bad speech? They say yes. Okay, so it's not just me. Because some people are emailing us saying that, Charlie, I like Trump, but it was a terrific speech. I don't think anyone who watched that speech, this is one of the most Orwellian moments I've ever seen. We were being totally gaslit. It's just, let's play cut 187.
Help me among the unsurprised. My experience listening to Kamala Harris began when tonight's host of the convention, Kerry Washington, said to me, would you like to meet the female Obama? This was in 2009 in the first months of the Obama presidency. And it's one of those moments that it's clearly a once-in-a-lifetime moment. I was sitting there realizing I am seeing the first black woman president, no question about it.
The female Obama. Self-delusion's powerful.
Well, but I'm telling you, I
believe
this.
They had these lines written before the speech.
Of course, because to your point, Jack, I thought the same thing when I was listening to CNN on the way over here. Instantly, Jake Tapper's first go-to line pulled it out of the bag, and if you can get it, Ryan, please do. The instant reaction was, you have to go back to 2008 to see a speech like this, and maybe, if at all, in the history of convention speeches. Instantly harkens back to 2008. I mean, Jack, I think you are spot on that people got the memo, and we are to liken this woman to Barack Obama. And what did I say right at the beginning, Charlie, in our chat? I said, one thing is for sure, she ain't no Barack Obama. Because Barack Obama, hate him as you may, and full of abstractions, nails on a chalkboard to me now, he still has a cool, calm, kind of suave delivery that is objectively much more pleasant to listen to than what we just heard tonight.
So Trump apparently called into Fox. I don't see it on any of my Telegram channels. I know it's late. So Jack, can you try to find it on Grabian or something, and we will clip it.
I have it right here.
Ryan, it is in your chat right now. Again, if you want the news fastest on the internet, Telegram is the way. I'm telling you, it is faster than Twitter. It is faster than anything else. Telegram is instant. People say, Charlie, how do you get that stuff so fast? It's Telegram. Because Jack, I also have it up all day, as you all know. I do all of our work, all of my communication, all of my texting on Telegram. If you don't text me on Telegram, I'm like, what's wrong with you? Why are you text me on iMessage? Like, weird. Trump just scolded Kamala. Yeah, go ahead, Jack. We're going to get this clip right here. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to agree with you. I mean, it's as people know me for my Twitter, you know, they're like, this guy's Mr. Twitter. And most of the time, like if I'm talking to people or reading things, I'm reading that and talking to people on Telegram. And then I might post something on Twitter that's like a thought or whatever. But I'm spending the majority of my time on Telegram. Just them.
For sure. Okay, we are clipping this one line. President Trump scolded Kamala for not talking about child trafficking in her speech tonight. I want to encourage you guys to become a member, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. I want to thank Paul. I want to thank Ricky. And I want to thank Mark, members.charliekirk.com. Okay, let's go to 189. This is President Trump on Fox.
She didn't talk about child trafficking that she's allowed to happen because she was the border czar and she presided over the weakest border in the history of our country. It's an invasion. I was there today, as you know, Brett. It's an invasion of our country taking place at our border, our southern border. It's a total invasion. And now it's starting at our northern border also, through Canada. And she didn't talk about any of that because she talks, but she doesn't do it. It's no action. But, you know, look, other than that, it was a nice-looking room.
Okay, so I want to throw this.
Compliment the room.
It's just, I'm just so sorry.
Let's keep clipping it. Blake, you go, then I have a question for the group. Go ahead.
I'm just so angry. AI is great. We have an AI made a transcript of the speech, so I'm reading through it. And just, I'm looking at her mention of the border, and what she says is, you know, I know the importance, because I was in law enforcement, I was a prosecutor, I know the importance of safety and security, especially at our border, and she says, you know, blah, 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 there was the bipartisan border bill, Trump killed it, and her border plan is, I will bring it back, and she says, you know, we can reform our broken immigration system. And what is unspoken here, and of course she's not going to mention it, but I am, and I'm annoyed, is, okay, Kamala, you want to fix the system, great. Why are things so much worse right now than they were 4 years ago? Why are they so much worse now than they were on January 21st, 2021, when you and your running mate took office in Washington, D.C.? This is just, it requires you to have like a self-lobotomy to go through Kamala's speech and not notice all the ways she just avoids speaking the unspoken truth that things have gone to hell in a handbasket in the last 4 years. Oh, I visited Ukraine 5 days before Russia attacked. Yeah, and Russia attacked. And she says, oh, Trump, he abandoned our allies and he encouraged Putin to invade them. Well, wow, why did Putin not invade during those 4 years? Why did he wait till your administration to do it? It's over and over. You just have to sort of, she's banking on the idea that America will not notice that she's in office right now and that all of the problems she's vowing to fix are problems that began or got substantially worse during this U.S. presidential term.
And can we talk about their counter to this? And Jack, I feel like you and Blake will probably have the best memories on this, but their attack line on this, and Kamala reiterated it tonight, she said, we passed the strongest border measure, in history, and Trump didn't want to pass it because it was bad for his campaign. That bill was a flaming turd of a border bill. It basically mandated that we were going to have about 1.8 million illegal crossings every year.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the
low
point.
You had to exceed 5,000 a day before like any of the stuff.
And then they would
turn
it off.
Optional.
And then they would turn it off.
Cap thing. Well, and Andrew, yes, to your point, it was a terrible bill, but also, you know, if that's her big excuse, he's going to crush her on that at the debate because that's something that, and Charlie, you know about this, independent voters are not going to take that as an excuse. Like, you really think that's going to fly with independents who are actually concerned with this issue, or people who are concerned with crime? Oh, we tried and we couldn't. Like, no.
Let's get President Trump is calling in everywhere. The guy's a madman. I love it. He's the best. He's calling in the Newsmax. He's calling into Fox. Let's go to 192. Him on Newsmax. Yeah, no, he should. I'm going to text him. Play cut 192.
I will tell you, I just watched it. Very nonspecific. She didn't talk about many things like interest rates, China, fracking in anywhere, let alone Pennsylvania, crime, poverty, trade deficits, child trafficking, woman trafficking, drugs, the border. She didn't talk about the most important things. It was a very general speech. And I ask a simple question. Why didn't she do it? She's complaining about this and that. She's complaining about prices. Why didn't she do it? The only thing she wanted to do is put price controls on. And if you look back, it's been done like 122 times over the last 200 years. It's never worked once. In fact, it's driven tremendous inflation and destroyed most countries where they tried it.
Very substantive response. We're going to keep on clipping it up. So, Andrew, a boomer conservative who's a great man, who's a neighbor of mine, stopped me today. He said, Charlie, I've been wanting to get this off my chest. I said, yes. He said, I'm very worried about this election. And he said, why? He said, this reminds me of Nixon v. Kennedy in 1960, where Nixon won on all the points, but Kennedy got all the pizzazz and he had all of the vibes. And he says, it's not that people don't always care about the issues. Trump is about issues and borders and issue. We can make fun of all this stuff and all the vibes, but judging where the culture currently is, will this ultimately be successful for Kamala? Has America become cynical enough after COVID, after everything, to maybe shake off a little bit of this propaganda? Or do we have natural immunity? Do we have antibodies to regime propaganda, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was checking myself on last night's stream to make sure I wasn't, you know, absorbing a dose of copium myself, and there's a lot of different things, a lot of different reasons why I don't think why this is effective, why her speech was effective, and why we have, I think that's well said, we have antibodies to this. I'm one of those people that Obama used to sound hopeful and change. That stuff worked on me when I was younger. Maybe it's just me getting a little bit older, but, you know, it's nails on a chalkboard now. I will also say that having talked to a bunch of reporters, they're convinced that the white vote is going to come back in on our side. And then you, Charlie, you've brought this point up before many times, that we're gonna see that boomer vote really shore up for Donald Trump. I just don't think that this vibe, this social media, this brat, whatever it is going to play with them nearly as well. That being said, it's going to be a dogfight and it's going to be a close election. I know the one thing that really does concern me is that this really enthuses the activist base for the Democrat Party. I think that we heard reports from the field when Joe Biden was still the candidate, they were really struggling to get activists and volunteers to go chase ballots. That has turned around in places like Michigan. So that to me is the real concern, that it has motivated them. But I really think that on the margins, you got to imagine we lost in 2020, and you know, you can use air quotes, we lost in 2020 because in 2016 Trump won 20% of the white vote. In 2020 he won 17% of the white vote. That 3% dip in the white vote alone was the difference in the election, with all the shenanigans, everything else included. Now you pile on the fact that she is just fundamentally a worse candidate than basically any modern Democrat candidate we've seen. She's no JFK. That's certainly true if you're going to go back to the 60s. But also, we do have this immunity, and we do have X, right? So there's a lot of counter forces that we're able to put out there. And I go back to something I said last night. Donald Trump has built a movement over the course of 9 years. This woman is a flame out. She cannot sustain the momentum or the enthusiasm. And I think tonight was just a big, giant dud. The media is going to try and spin it. Maybe that will work for a short time, but let's get to these debates. Let's get to her actually doing a couple sit-down interviews and putting out more policy, and I think we're going to see everything come back to down to earth. I feel very strong and very bullish, actually, after this DNC.
Let's play a cut 194 of President Trump on Fox.
She is promising middle-class tax cuts, and she says that if you are elected, it will cost Americans $3,900 more a year in increased taxes. She's tying all of that to this Project 2025. That's where that number is coming from. What do you say to that?
Well, she knows I have nothing to do with Project 25. They throw it out. A group of people got together. They did a thing. I haven't even seen it. I don't want to see it. I told them specifically, I don't want to see it. People know where I stand. I lower taxes. She's raising taxes. She's going to give a tax increase of 4 to 5 times what people and companies are paying right now.
Man, this Project 2025 thing. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I love Heritage. I love Dr. Roberts, but I got to be honest. This thing just will not die. It's like either own it or get away from it. Blake, what went wrong with that whole thing? They came out with a binder of Project 2025 repeatedly. Blake.
I think the biggest problem with it was that as opposed to, I don't think it was unserious, but instead of exclusively being how do we maximize the effectiveness of an ex-Trump term, it was a means to an end, and that end was get lots of attention and money to Heritage right now. And so they're doing all of this to get attention on themselves, to link, make it seem like, oh, we're the brain trust behind the Trump operation. It's all very, it was short-term focused. It was a way to raise money in the here and now. A Democrat organization, what they would do is, and this is admittedly a thing they can do because they have more money, they would go to some billionaires and say, let's just imagine we flipped it. Imagine the Democrats said, okay, our last administration, you know, there were ways we fell short. We're going to be more effective. We want to iron out exactly who we're going to pick and all the policies we're going to do. Give us $10 million, some number, and we'll do all of this. Here's all of our deliverables, and we're going to do it all in secret. And we'll hold some meetings in Aspen, and we'll get her done.
Yep.
And then we would learn about this in some Time magazine article, you know, 2 years into the administration. And it'll just be the secret story of how President Harris was able to get so much done so quickly.
Exactly.
Well, they had a Project 2025 secretly. And then, of course, the Republicans would go berserk and there'd be conspiracy theories about it on the internet forever. Yes. And that's how they would do it. And instead, it was like they were going on national TV beforehand and hyping it all up. And it's unfortunate it went that way. And it was super obvious that the Democrats would seize upon this as a way to run against it.
Yeah, and you bring up something that I think is important, and Charlie, you know this better than anybody. The way that Democrat money flows, it's within a network, it happens in a back room, they mm-hmm. sort of divvy up the pie, and it goes out secretly, whereas conservatives have to sort of compete out in the open.
It's a madhouse. It is a wild, wild world in the conservative world.
Yeah, there's no central...
No, that's right, and... Yeah, please continue.
Yeah, there's no central clearinghouse pushing out the money to the conservative groups. I think people assume there is, and there's smoke-filled back rooms. That's just not how it is. Conservatives have to sort of let the world know, hey, we're doing X, Y, and Z, and it actually is a fundamental disadvantage. And, Blake, you've called that out, I think, well. And I think Heritage is probably fell victim to that, just sort of the way the right functions, where they had to promote and publicize something that wasn't necessarily connected to the administration. Now, there are good ideas in Project 2025, but it's not Trump's platform, and he apparently disagrees with quite a bit because he felt the need to sort of distance himself from it very publicly. And the fact that they don't bring that up is just, again, Orwellian. There's so much Orwellian in this DNC.
Yeah, like,
but
a comparison for Project 2025 might be if feel like you're a sports fan. Like, let's say Charlie got really excited for Oregon's next football season, and so he did Project 2025, and he's like, here's all the players Oregon should recruit, and here's what they should do with their offense, and here's what all their coaches
it's a
should
good
do.
Analogy.
And, you know, some of them might be good ideas. Some of them might be, you know, oh, that is a recruit that
coach,
Oregon should get.
The they coach should, might actually take one or
yeah,
two.
Yeah, they should
ideas.
Do some of these things. Yeah. But that doesn't, then. We wouldn't come out and say, like, oh, Charlie Kirk, the head of the Oregon football program.
Yes.
Like, Heritage,
precisely.
We like them. They're on our side. Many of the ideas in it are good, but it is not Trump's platform.
And there were good.
We shouldn't
do
all of
it. Good things. There are also some things I didn't like in there.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a project by some Trump super fans. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean it's Trump's thing.
And let's just be honest. Just for whatever reason, it just resonates to normies and lefties as like as if it's the Manhattan Project. Just the way it comes across and it hits, it just, you know what I mean? It just sounds like, ooh, Project 2020. You know, it's just, it has a element from branding where it seems as if there's something sinister and they're not being true about who they actually are, which of course is the Democrats, right? This entire convention was actually what they say we're doing. The entire convention, they did not once talk about mutilating trannies. Do you notice how de-emphasized the gay stuff was, guys? Do you notice they had one thing? They had Dana Nessel that was like, you can
pick. General, at least in the speeches.
Yes. I'm telling you, this is, again, there's so many takeaways from this. The neocon takeover, the Democrats, the fake patriotism, but the kind of, they admitted a major culture war L the last 4 days. A major culture war L. They did not lean in. Oh, are we on YouTube? Darn. See, Ryan. All right.
Never mind. I love the LGBT issue. I would never question the wisdom.
I can't speak freely. We got to pull it. All right. We pulled it, delete it, get rid of it.
Never happened, Charlie.
All right. Anyway, this is why I love Real America. This is why I love Real America's Voice and Rumble, by the way. It's just, yep. They're the best. So I can say, Real America's Voice and Rumble are two of the most important things. Let me just finish the thought really quick, though, is that the Democrats did not go up and they said, do you know why we are really proud of the Democrat Party? Because in California, if you're an 11-year-old, you can get a mastectomy without telling your parents. Applause. No. Did anyone go up and say, and do you know what makes Minnesota great? If you're an illegal, you can get taxpayer-funded tuition. Did they go in and they said, you know what makes us so great as Democrats? That in Chicago, over 50 people are shot on a weekend. They did not own any of the policies that are most fundamental to the core of the Democrat Party. Blake, do you want to contribute to that?
Just speaking of the gaslighting thing, she says in her speech about halfway through, she says Donald Trump's explicit intent is to jail his political opponents. Just what?
Yeah. Well, and there was that Michigan lawmaker who said the same, that Donald Trump is going to weaponize the Justice Department to settle scores.
God forbid. Imagine if anyone ever did that.
Yeah, the lack of self-awareness, or actually just the brazenness with which you're willing to say something so untrue, is really a new era of Democrat politics, of modern American politics. And then to see the media just carry the Democrat Party's water is truly something to behold. I mean, it's easy to critique the media, and then, you know, we often say you don't hate them enough. This is like one of those moments where you're like, the truth is so easy, so simple to comprehend and ascertain in this instance. You guys all consume the media just as much as we do. You have to see this, right? And yet they refuse to acknowledge what is true. And so, I mean, I cheer every time I hear about one of these outlets laying off people, because I think genuinely we're at this point where it's good for the country.
By the way, I'm checking the numbers. There have been 53 people shot in Chicago so far this week, and there are 2 days left in the week to go, according to Hey Jackass, which is a great site.
And that's what the West, and that's what the West Side largely shut down. So they're doing the shooting somewhere else. They could shut down the most murderous neighborhoods for the convention, but the shooting goes elsewhere. Yeah. So, all right, email us freedom@charliekirk.com, going to members.charliekirk.com. That's members.charliekirk.com. I think we have more of Trump that we didn't play, if I'm not mistaken, sent above here. Let me see here. Which one is this? Let's play cut 196, please.
Are you ready to debate Kamala Harris on September 10th, given what you heard tonight?
Well, number one debate on September 4th at Fox, and she turned it down. Because, as you know, Brett, I was willing to debate with you and Martha. Well, I was going to debate on September 4th. She turned it down. And I'm willing to debate on, I don't like ABC. I think ABC is probably the worst of the group. But I'm willing to do ABC. I was willing to do CNN with Joe Biden. And you saw what happened there. I mean, CNN does not treat me or Republicans very good. But I was willing to do it because it was the only way I could get to debate him and ask him how that turned out.
Very little mention of Joe Biden tonight. Very, very little mention of who actually the president of the United States is. The op they're trying to run, we've said it before, is they're trying to convince you that they're currently not in control of the country. They're trying to redo 2020, where they're acting like Donald Trump is the current president of the United States. That Donald Trump is actually currently in charge of the country. Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, that's a repeat theme. They are trying to make it seem like she's some insurgent, some upstart, some CNN was calling her the underdog and really playing this up. And I mean, I just find it completely offensive. You know, and then this other thing that we were talking about in our chat is how we all got opped with this special guest. I mean, if it was just a giant gimmick and we got played, that's a really telling aspect of the night, that they were willing to sort of just leak out
the whole
complete
thing was
lie just to get more eyeballs on the speech, because people were like, oh, is Taylor Swift coming? And so I'm sure it worked. A lot of people probably tuned in. You know, you got to respect the hustle a little bit, I guess, but it's brazenly dishonest. So, yeah, 198, if we can play that clip.
In anticipation here and elsewhere that there may be a special guest, I am told by Democrats that Kamala Harris was their guest. They did not want a celebrity at the end of this convention to essentially compete with her. One senior advisor telling me this is a deadly serious election.
It's just unreal.
Deadly serious.
Let's not be
election.
That deadly serious, because they nominated Kamala Harris.
I mean, for real, like if you were going to try and fight and win a war, Kamala Harris would not be anybody's job.
The whole speech was basically like, we have an Obama at home, okay? We don't need Obama. We have our own Obama at home, and they just roll out Kamala for you.
You could just imagine like Harry Sisson and that Parker Short guy just like in tears realizing they didn't get to dance to Beyonce or Taylor Swift. Can you imagine?
I
want to
see like Harry Sisson just like leaned up against a wall smoking a cigarette like, oh, now we have to try to carry water for her for the next 3 months.
Oh, they're like, in it. They love
and
it.
We don't even get Beyonce out of it. He gets trolled. Michael Lindell asked him if he had a vasectomy. Like,
I saw that. Michael Lindell
is dunking on you.
That's pretty, I would have asked him if he went to the abortion van. Like, just Harry Sisson.
I did ask someone that.
Yeah.
I did actually ask someone that. It was not Harry Sisson.
Man. I just think that, you know, this is heresy to mention. I know we don't want to, but there's two levels here. One, I feel more confident we're going to win. But say something unfortunate happens.
Blake.
Yeah, that was the most bullish comment I've ever heard from
I'm just saying.
Blake, I'm clipping it. It's his birthday.
Blake,
happy birthday.
Dump Blake's audio. Dump his audio.
Yeah, did we get the dump button, please? I don't think he
cut
was,
that mic.
I don't think he realized what he was doing.
Yeah,
I was going to say is if Kamala were to be president for 4 years, I feel like it would
be
so bad that we might get like an extinction level event for the Democratic Party 4 years later. Because can you imagine what the approval rating of President Kamala would be if that's who's rolling out there every day, giving you some shrill, please quiet down now, let's get down to business lecture as inflation goes up to 15% and we have a sovereign debt crisis and like Taiwan gets like wrecked and she's like out there looking tipsy on like the Rose Garden
laughing,
doing her like creepy laugh. And
right, Taiwan is a little island and China is a big country and
China is
there's water all around it.
All right, so Poly Market is down 2% tonight for Trump. He's still up 51-47, but if that's the big DNC bump for Kamala based on the betting markets, then to your point, Blake, I think this could have been a lot worse. I mean, frankly, it could this whole night, this whole production, the DNC. Charlie, we said it, you know, she got this big Kamala momentum bump right after the announcement that she was top of the ticket. And we said, listen, there's going to be some bad polls between now and the DNC. We got to weather this storm and then close hard. I'll be honest, I expected this to be worse.
I would say on Monday, looking at Poly Market over time, on Monday it was Harris 51, Trump 47, and over 4 days, they switched places.
Over the course of the DNC.
That is a disappointing DNC.
Yes. And I don't know where predicted is, if you guys have that, but it's been a little bit more pro-Kamala. So let's see where they're at. So Kamala, no change, 53-49 for Kamala on predicted. So, but that's where it was before. So, again, if you're looking for a bump, I just don't know that I see it. I really don't. And for them to try and, you know, gaslight the American people that this is the second coming of Barack Obama, you can see for yourself Tuesday to Thursday, she's no Barack Obama. This is not the bump they hoped it was. And maybe I'm biased. Jack, Charlie, I'd love your feedback on this. But I just don't see the same quality of talent within the Democrat ranks, the bench, if you will, that I do within the Republican circles. The fact that we have somebody as talented, as articulate as J.D. Vance, yes, they're attacking him, yes, they're smearing him, but they would have done that to anybody that Trump chose as his VP, whether it was Marco Rubio or whatever. But the fact that we have a J.D. Vance in the ranks, the fact we have a Marco Rubio, whose views more and more I tend to agree with, he's become much more domestic focused, much more populist, right? But the list goes on. I mean, the RNC we were spoiled for choice with how much talent we have on our bench. And the Democrats, I mean, you're putting up Mike Waltz or Tim Waltz as your VP. Like, that's the best you can do. Jack, you mentioned that Shapiro's speech fell flat. Mark Kelly's speech fell flat. Roy Cooper's speech fell flat.
I said that Josh Shapiro's speech came up short.
Yes. I have no idea why you chose that particular descriptor, but yeah, it certainly did. And I mean I've heard zero positive coverage about Shapiro's speech. Pete Buttigieg's speech was it also came up short. So I don't know. I look at it and I'm like, maybe Kamala Harris is the best they got, you know? They wanted her to be the second coming of Barack Obama when she got elected to the Senate. She fell short again in a lot of different ways. She was a disappointment. She was a disappointment as a vice president. And they're trying to still force feed her on the American people. And I just can't see it working. But maybe I'm wrong.
So, guys, I have a buddy, and it's so funny that we all mentioned this. I've got a buddy who is going back and watching the – he was working, and so he went back and started watching the speech again, and he's like, oh, I'm going to start it now, because, you know, he's someone who's kind of like Blake, just, you know, has a very objective eye for a lot of these things. And the first thing he texts me, he goes, wait, who steps on their own applause? like why did she do that? It's so bad. And Andrew, I know you weren't here for that part, but we were all pointing out, and even Trump posted about this, that they were applauding for her, and she like forced them to stop because she was like upset because she wanted to start speaking. It's really awkward.
She got irritated. Yeah, I mean, you could see that that side of her personality, the bully come out, the one that berates her staff, 100%. But yeah, I mean,
eye contact. Remember, you have to maintain eye contact. You have to smile when she comes into the room. All of these stories that have come out in like liberal press, by the way, about her that have been leaked from her. The fact, by the way, that she has no long-term staff. I should have said that earlier. She has no long-term staff. Almost all of the staff that came in with her at the beginning of the vice presidency is gone at this point. They've turned over. Why do you think that is, boys and girls?
Do any of her old staff even follow her on Instagram? We need to investigate.
I've actually been told that some of her old staff was texting the new staff saying, good luck, guys, you're going to need it.
Jeez.
The protesters are actually up pretty high outside. Do we have any of those clips?
Yeah, we do. Let's go ahead and play.
They're like harassing delegates as they come out. 199.
Yeah, 199. Play that. Put that in the center frame if you guys can. We can react to it. This is a clip from Tenet Media. Interesting that it does seem like the protests have ramped back up tonight, a sort of final crescendo from a protesting standpoint as well. Jack, are you hearing anything from sort of our team that's in the field about if it's actually ramping up or if this is just a few hotspots?
Let me go check. I know there's like eight people that we have there. And then Postmillennial has someone there as well. But no, this is all basically, so it's right outside the DNC. As you can see, this is sort of one of the exits. There's numerous exits there. And yeah, in some areas, they've pretty much blocked off the streets. They're going in and it's starting to die down a little bit now. But yeah, they were marching, some of them going back to the park. And it was getting, it was, you know, the police came out and the police have been, you know, pretty forceful here, but
yeah. So
and
we were
pretty
hearing,
strong throughout all of it, but
Jack, I'm wondering if your sources,
yeah, they're like under
this.
The L.
I'm wondering if your sources confirmed this, but we spoke with,
does that work, guys?
Yep. We can hear you.
Hey, Charlie's back.
Yeah.
We lost Charlie.
Okay, good.
There, folks.
We were hearing,
hey,
from,
I'm really proud of myself. I just troubleshot technology.
He turned it off and turned
you're better
it
with
on,
tech
you don't
than
understand.
You let on.
That,
not with
well,
cameras.
There's a whole yeah. There's a whole bunch of gizmos here that I've never heard. There's live views and sound busters and monkey keys and transponders and an axle rod and I've never heard of these things before.
Well, we're glad to have you back, Charlie. We were just commenting on the protesters and the we spoke with William J. Kelly, who's one of, you know, sort of a very famous reporter in the Chicagoland area. And he was saying there was a dirty deal that was made between Brandon Johnson and the protesters. And so I think there was sort of a handshake deal that said, hey, we're not going to stop you. Everybody knows you're coming. You can have a few protests. Just don't let them get too unruly, right? And I think there was a couple instances where the protesters went rogue. They started pulling down fences and barricades, and they infiltrated the perimeter, the security perimeter. Those seem to die down pretty quickly. I would say, in general, they failed to materialize. We predicted that would happen, actually, especially after we spoke with William J. Kelly. But, I mean, it seems like there was an agreement made. And for the most part, the protesters played along with that script. You can't control them all. Some of these people won't be controlled. Some of them really genuinely do hate the Democrat Party, especially the corporate Democrat Party. And, yeah, you can see the B-roll, of course. Ah, Ryan got my CNN clip. This thing. I don't want to throw to it if we're still talking about protesters, but this is pure Pravda, regime Pravda. And Charlie's showing us pictures of the tech he just troubleshot. Let's go ahead and play Cut 190.
I know exactly where that is. I know exactly where that's right, where the L is. Yeah, go ahead.
Cut 190. There you go.
Lying rhetoric, a speech with many, many shots across the bow of Donald Trump, her opponent, and a speech in which she sought to portray herself as a credible commander-in-chief, patriotic, firm, confident, and credible. She discussed Israel and Palestine. She discussed Ukraine. She discussed the threat from Iran. It was a remarkable address. One that I've never seen her give quite like this before. A very, very powerful speech. You got to go back, I think, to Barack Obama in 2008 for a Democratic speech like this, perhaps even a speech like this at all.
Whoa. He says it might have been better than Obama's.
Why do you do this to yourself, Jake Tapper? I mean, is the, what, $12 million a year they pay for you to be a hooker, like, worth it that much? I mean, really, I'm like, okay, fine, like, why are you doing this to yourself? You're nothing more than just a glorified prostitute just reading lines better than Obama. Like, you're gonna be replaced by AI by the next convention. Like, just have a little bit of dignity.
Well said. I couldn't have said it better, Charlie.
Thank you.
That is a shot. I mean, I was listening to this in the car on the way over, and I was transcribing it to you guys. You thought I was trolling you guys. I was like, no, this is what CNN is actually saying right now. Which I was like, glad I was gonna have to nuke you. No, I don't share those opinions with Jake Tapper. My jaw dropped listening to, and maybe this, I always say this word wrong, Blake, correct me, the Rorschach test. Maybe this is just one of those things where the country has become so divided and so tribal, you know, and, you know, maybe it's just, you see this and it's just confirmation bias the whole way. I mean, what percentage of the population is still reachable and, you know, persuadable in the middle?
I can tell you this. The people that are persuadable are not the people watching this, are the ones that are scrolling through TikTok at 2 a.m. tonight, the people that we're reaching in record numbers. Those are the actual ones that are persuadable. I mean, a lot of people have lives. They don't want to hear Kamala Harris scream like an out-of-control wine mom about how she's going to, you know, invade Russia if they dare, you know, say a bad tweet about us or something.
A little bit of a pill, Charlie. We were looking at your TikTok numbers. And, Ryan, if you can pull some of those numbers up so I make sure I get them right. But the Charlie Kirk Show TikTok has reached, in the last however many, what was it, 3 months or something, 176 million people. Just Charlie's TikTok. And so, and you know, those are the type of numbers that actually do win elections. And I will say, when I was getting off the plane and I was trying to watch Kamala's speech and watch the speeches from the DNC, there was nobody else on that plane even talking about the DNC. There was nobody on their phone trying to catch clips of the DNC. I'm sure a lot of them will pick it up later or see clips on social media or whatever. But I sort of expected it to be like the World Series and you look across the plane or the Super Bowl and everybody's watching the DNC. Nobody was. Nobody was even talking about it. Yeah, we have these
numbers.
Go ahead, Jack.
That I know. Oh, no, do the numbers on that. Something just occurred to me, though.
Yeah, so 173 million viewers, and that was in the last year. 173 million, and that's amazing.
Trump is on a rampage. He just called Greg Gutfeld on his show live.
Can we clip it?
Because he didn't like that he got cut off.
Yeah, I know. We got to get this. All right, let's get this right here. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Great.
He's a madman.
18 to 24
right
year olds, 30.8% of that audience. 25 to 34 year olds, 32.3% of that audience. 44 and under basically makes up about 80%. So 44 and under is 80% of the TikTok audience that we've reached on Charlie's TikTok account in the last year. It's
incredible.
It's really incredible development. And we didn't have that in 2020. We certainly didn't have X to the size.
We didn't have that in 2023.
We didn't have that in 2022. No, none of these things. So these are all new developments. And anyways, just a little bit of a white pill, folks. I mean, the reach is unparalleled.
I think I just noticed a dog that's not barking. And one of the tweets on Kamala Harris's account made me start thinking about this. Did you notice any speakers really make a big pitch for her as the first female president?
They said it wasn't mentioned.
It wasn't like Hillary.
There was a couple of the.
Hillary did mention it, right? But it wasn't. It was a de-emphasis from where it was in 2016. From this idea that, and so Charlie, this is going back to what we were talking about before, white working class men, that they know that's where you saw the emphasis. You saw the emphasis where them going over the top and having like, you know, Tim Walz's football team from like 25 years ago or something is like dancing around on stage with him. And veterans, again, the Hicklib stuff, the Yellowstoning stuff. But you didn't hear in 2016, 8 years ago, the last time they ran a female candidate, it was the whole campaign. I'm with her. First female candidate. And you heard the media saying it over and over and over and over and over. And so I have to think that was a deliberate decision that was made to de-emphasize the idea of her being the first female candidate and just try to play her up as, you know, she's a good person and she's, you know, she's got a great personality. Here's some stories from her childhood, et cetera. But it's a huge dog that's not barking that they're really de-emphasizing the fact that she would be the first female president.
Well, okay, let's this is Donald Trump call. Yep. Hold on. This is Donald Trump calling into Gutfeld. Let's play cut 202.
More money.
Yeah. Hey, Mr. President, I'm on this. I'm live now. Say hello to my audience. So don't say anything that'll get you in trouble. All right.
I don't mind.
you know, at this point, to what difference does it make? We're doing well. We're leading in the polls.
All right, Mr. President.
15 points down.
Yeah.
And they said he has to get out, and they basically staged a coup.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's all see how it happens, but I think we're doing very well.
All right.
We're going to do very well.
All right, Mr. P, I got to go. I see ya. Bye-bye.
Can I just say, Greg Gutfeld is in a sea, in a world where there's so few talented people. He's one of the most talented, like legitimately funny people in the media space. Can we all agree that like Greg Gutfeld is actually a funny person? Anyway, I have to say that he's funny.
He's actually a really good guy.
I record the five and watch it on 2x speed every single day just to hear Greg Gutfeld's rants because I think he's that talented. Anyway, he's always been really good to me. So.
I love Greg. I've always had great interactions.
Don't all talk at once.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about what.
Oh, hey guys, can you get? Hold on, wait, guys, can you do something? Can you get Gavin Newsom's speech, please, from the stage, please? Can you get Gavin Newsom's big address from the stage?
Talk about dogs that aren't barking.
The dog that's not barking.
Talk about dogs that aren't barking, right? There's a lot that was left out of this DNC that they could have done. And I think there's a lot of deliberate things, deliberate choices that were made, especially this whole idea of the surprise guest. You know, that may have been like, you know, either the surprise guest thing was either one of two things. I think number one, it could have been a potential counter for all the RFK news that was going on, because going in, and Charlie, I texted you, one of the first things that we talked about this morning was that, you know, the RFK story was the number one media story this morning. All the chatter, all the buzz, mm-hmm. My phone, Andrew, you talked about yesterday that your phone blew up about it, saying, what are you guys up to? Turning Point's cooking up something with RFK.
Still,
and you're
it
like,
hasn't stopped. It hasn't stopped, Jack.
We don't, this is not us. Like, this is really not us. But yeah, it's still going on. And then suddenly they're like, okay, well, we need to cook up something to get some buzz about the DNC. Hey, let's leak that there's going to be a surprise guest and a performance and all this. And there just never was. There never was a surprise guest. And the only other thing I could potentially think it would be is maybe like a you know, like a leak trap. The idea that, you know, you leak something to a couple of staffers and then you go, because remember, Don Lemon went out there publicly with that really weird breaking story, saying that he had sources saying it would be Beyonce, Taylor Swift, and George W. Bush. And he was like very serious about that. And then like all of their publicists came out and said, no, this isn't real, like one by one by one. And so the idea is, who said that to Don Lemon? And whoever they can find out who said that to him, essentially, that means they're a leaker.
You get the Nelk Boys, guys. So I haven't watched a lot of the Nelk Boys, you guys. It's like, where are they going to go with this? Did you guys see this video of them watching the Kamala Harris video? It's really funny.
We have to play it.
Sorry, I was just...
No, that's,
I haven't
seen it.
Very, very good. It's very...
Let's play.
If you haven't
this.
Seen, don't watch it before we show it on air. Don't watch it in the chat. Don't watch it in the chat. We're gonna load it.
All right, I have not watched it yet. Just play it. Just play it.
Do not watch it. We're gonna watch it on the. We're gonna play it on the feed for everyone to see it. In the meantime,
all right. I'm not. No.
You just watched it, Andrew. Told you not to watch it.
I know. Andrew doesn't listen to anything I say. Go
just
to members.charliekirk.com.
He's like, do you want to play it? It's ready. Let's go ahead and play it.
Yeah, is it ready?
Yeah, it's ready.
Well, no, it's
I
not ready.
Because I can
who
listen.
Said it's ready? What cut is it then, Andrew?
It just studio what, play what? It. It's ready. I see it.
Okay.
All survivors of crime.
No
to
way.
Remind them, no one
no
should
way.
Be able to fight
no
alone.
Dude, Kamala Harris will never be my president. Woo!
So yeah, I
really
kind of knew that's what they were gonna do.
It's the men versus woman election.
Yeah, so this is a meme based on like a lot of like sports viral videos. This will happen like when a team loses or something. You'll typically see a group of guys do that. Not usually with like a sledgehammer, but yeah. Once I saw that, I was like, I know exactly what's gonna happen next.
All right. Well, thanks for good stuff. Ruining it for me, Jack.
I just feel bad that they're destroying that TV because you know they'll have to use microchips to replace that TV. And thanks to the Biden-Harris administration, you know, we're losing the chip war. Now they're squandering those scarce chips.
That's why the CCP is going to take Taiwan.
Yep.
Which is an island. Taiwan is an island which is surrounded by water and China.
Taiwan is amazing.
The resiliency of Taiwan. But it is only matched by the resiliency of Tai 2.
You know, Jake Tapper said that Kamala's speech had a lot of shots across the bow, and I do agree with him. There were a lot of shots involved in that speech, I think.
Blake answers right back. Very good. Very good.
All right. Who actually believes she's drunk all the time or just some other substance abuse issue?
We know she drinks.
We know she drinks. I don't know if she's like an alky.
She's like a wine mom. She's a wine mom. Right? Or do you think she's actually like popping pills like Adderall and it just kind of she overfloods her system or something?
I feel like she would know.
She puts the joy in Chardonnay.
I think we would know. Like, we've had all the other leaks about Kamala. I think we would have the leak if like she was drunk in the office. She does have that affect though. Like we've seen the threads and discussion. She kind of does behave like a slightly tipsy, nervous woman a lot of the time.
Yes.
That doesn't mean she literally is. But she sounds and looks that way.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things. You just imagine Joe Biden was getting his B12 shot and his whole cocktail, you know, getting ready for his speeches. Meanwhile, Kamala's in the side room just throwing back a few white wines. It does fit, but I, you know, it's
Andrew, you're a wine guy, so you might know this better than me because I got a text earlier tonight that said. That her go-to is something called Courton Charlemagne Grand Cru. That white wine is like her. It's like her from Burgundy. It's like her number one go-to wine.
Might be a little out of my price point, but yeah.
No, it's like super high price point. I looked it up.
Yeah, I don't even recognize the name. I'm not really like a wine connoisseur or anything like that. You know, we sort of I'm not the guy to ask, but I would say, I mean, I do.
I mean, out of the four of us.
Yeah, you're sober. Charlie doesn't drink, and I don't think Blake does. Maybe the occasional,
like once a month or so.
Yeah. So I mean, but I don't know. That sounds like an expensive.
Blake only drinks Natty Light. Blake is a hardcore Natty Light guy.
I'm gonna fight you, Poso. I'm gonna find you.
See, there's that Natty Light speaking. It's coming right out.
Oh my gosh, we have to play 205. I mean, the media is going full Pravda, and it will be a problem if they're basically tipping their hand that they are so committed to Kamala being president that they have foregone any objectivity or any sober, rational. Speaking of sobriety,
let's see it. This is
205.
The white wine floweth tonight on MSNBC, both before and after the speech. Play cut 204.
Oh, 204. Okay, yeah.
And there's like, no.
I'd like to hear who I'll be working with as the governor of Maryland.
clip and save. That's all I'm saying. I will collect later on this. All right. You will remember where you were when you heard this speech tonight from the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris. Really introducing herself to the nation, speaking as much to Republicans and independents as she was to the Democrats who were nominating her tonight, asking Americans to remember how great their country is and to fight for its values. You're going to remember where you were on this night. This is an inflection point in history.
I'm going to snap. I am going to snap. Introducing herself to the country. She is the sitting Vice President of the United States. She is not. We should go find it. There's probably someone who said that in 2020 about the same speech. Oh, this is Kamala Harris introducing herself to the country.
We should do that. Hold on. That's a great idea. That's a great idea. When they did the live stream
on their convention. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
What in the world?
That's truly
She's the vice president. introducing
Everyone knows who the vice president is.
Yeah, but she got to give her whole biography, you know, a little brown woman with an accent.
She didn't even do a good job. Bay. She was, all I remember was Wanda, Shanaynay, and Gumbo. That's all I watched there the speech. I don't even remember what she talked about in her biography.
Right, that is a joke, right?
There was definitely a Gumbo.
There was a Wanda. Yeah, that, it was like, and her sister Maya got
Did
up.
Did she not mention Gumbo? Was there not Gumbo? There was something about Gumbo that they couldn't afford making Gumbo.
That sounds plausible. I didn't. I was intermittent. I was missing parts.
Check the AI. Check the AI. The AI, Blake. There was some mention about Gumbo.
Oh, yeah. Let me see. Just a sec. Gumbo.
Right. Yes.
Let's yeah, go. Family who taught us how to make Gumbo, how to play chess, and sometimes
I told
even
you there
let
was
us
Gumbo.
Win. Yeah, and she's talking about all of her, none of them family by blood, all of them
she brought up
family
Coltrane
by love.
Too. Coltrane and...
Can you send me the full transcript? There were way too many names. It, yeah. I got very confusing. Play cut 205.
Nora, I am on the convention floor, but that floor is now covered up to my waist in balloons. I think the confetti's in the air, the big balloons are flying, and the 2024 Democratic National Convention is definitely in the books, and people are loving it down here. Chuck Schumer, was he dancing, was he prancing? I just saw him go by. We've got cheers, we've got a certain underwater quality as people dodge the balloons, a certain concert quality as people wait and enjoy the music. And I will leave the reviewing of the content to you, but the emotion and the feeling down here is, I don't know, 7-year-old birthday party is how I would put it. There is joy and there's not a lot of thinking. It's a good time.
Not a lot of thinking is right. My goodness.
Well, I'm literally reading.
Sounds
this is how
right.
I'm not making this up. This is how NPR congressional editor Deirdre Walsh wrote about Kamala Harris.
Sherman, that's it.
Kamala Harris speaking in 2020 to the DNC in 2020. Speaking and Harris introduced herself and began to prosecute the case against Trump, with some political observers already setting expectations that this national introduction could determine the success or failure of a future Harris presidential campaign. Harris faced the test of connecting with people who were taking a first look and energizing those in the Democratic base who have been less than enthusiastic about Biden. Harris received national attention for her debate performance during her primary run, but this was the first time many Americans heard about her mother and father, immigrants from India and Jamaica, respectively. Like, just...
Well, you know what else? She's never given a real convention speech before.
Wednesday
so that's
night.
How much of a bank... That was the backbencher of backbenchers. She's never... Like, Obama did the 2004 speech before he was elected Senate, and then he gets in, and then he's there for 2 years, then he runs... Or excuse me, he runs in 06 and then he's there for 2 years. And then she's never actually given, so I guess that means she didn't speak in 08, she didn't speak in 12, and she didn't even speak in 16. And then 2020, when she's nominated for vice president, who, as Joe Biden has said, she was there because she was a DEI hire, and Amy Klobuchar was his original choice, by the way, that, you know, she spoke to an empty room on like a live stream. And this was the first big convention speech she's ever done. And she blew it.
Not if you ask CBS and CNN and MSNBC.
An inflection point in history. That's what she said.
Yeah, you know what people say that you're going to you remember where you were? It's like, you know, JFK getting assassinated, 9/11, the moon
shot landing.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've memory holed that specifically because, you know, now we're not going to be able to say that. I mean, conservatives do. I remember where I was. But those are the type of moments that you remember where you were at. And, you know, for Rachel Maddow to just throw it out like a very subpar speech, I'm telling you, they are going to go all in on getting this woman, this flash in the pan, vapid, substanceless woman across the finish line.
Inflection point in history. Okay, like, just to be nerdy for a minute, you know, inflection point is like a moment where, you know, you change direction. It's a key.
It was like Rome becoming a republic.
Well, it's
and
like, it's where there's many possible outcomes. Yes. It's a high leverage situation. Like, you know, the world was headed down a path. And then, out of nowhere, Kamala Harris appeared and with the power of her rhetoric diverted the course of history down a different path. Kamala Harris just emerged.
A little bit of hyperbole there, Rachel. Calm it down. Calm it down, Miss Maddow. Yeah, I mean, but you're right.
All right, guys.
Go ahead, Charlie.
No. You finish, and we want to wrap because we got a big day tomorrow.
No, so. I think that's actually a great point, Charlie. We actually have a really important rally that we're going to be co-hosting with the campaign.
Well, people are already lining up. So let's get Andrew. Do you see this video? There's already like 500 people that are spending the night in yard chairs tonight, outdoors in Phoenix.
Post that.
This is unbelievable. Let's get this and tweet this. This is crazy. Wow. Okay. Keep going. Yeah. So let's try to get this. I'm right. Drafting a tweet.
Do we have it up for the, here, we'll make sure that the folks at home can follow along here. We'll get this, this clip. This is amazing. There's a lot of people out there. We'll put this up.
This is
up.
Crazy.
This,
I know.
Yeah. Put, as soon as you guys got it loaded, throw that up for the audience. Not that one. There you go. There they are. This is the crowd already lined up to see Trump in Arizona tomorrow. There's been an announcement of a special guest. If you guys are in the proximity, or you can fly in, whether you're from Vegas or wherever you may be, get here tomorrow. Doors open at 11 local time. President's remarks are scheduled for 4 p.m. local time, which is basically Pacific time, MST. And register at tpaction.com/Trump. tpaction.com/Trump. We're going to have, this is going to be a massive, massive rally and a really important rebuttal to what we just saw at the DNC. This will be the first official reaction to that speech. So a really important night, and excited to see that the people are this excited, right? To have a crowd that large the night before is truly something.
Isn't that crazy? It's amazing. tpaction.com/Trump. That is tpaction.com/Trump. We'll see you guys tomorrow. A reminder, become a member, members.charliekirk.com, to support our late night streams. I want to thank Steven. I want to thank Jill. I want to thank Rich. I want to thank Thomas. I want to thank Billy and Caleb and Christina. Members.charliekirk.com. It's going to be an amazing day tomorrow. History will be made. tpaction.com/Trump.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.